Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing until we find a permanent church sanctuary. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 99702 pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. Spiritual warfare is real and constant. If you want clear, godly instructions on how to be victorious, spirit, soul, and body, you need to buy my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. This is Pastor John McIntosh from Kansas City Christian Faith Center, where we love people, live victoriously, spirit, soul, and body. And let me welcome you to our radio broadcast. And please remember these words from the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, praise God for another opportunity and the privilege to share with you the living word of God. Amen. Family, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. We invite the Holy Spirit in to think through my mind and speak through my lips the wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and the truth of the only true and living God. I pray for everyone within the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. Satan, we rebuke you and all your demonic demons and render your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. Father, this we ask and we covenant with you in the name of Jesus the Christ, the anointing one's name we pray. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, please open them to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to continue our teaching on the subject, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you found 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to read verse number 1. And it says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now we see here it says, now concerning spiritual gifts. So the subject that we're going to be dealing with is spiritual gifts. And then Paul goes on to say, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, for the past few weeks, we've been teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, we just read in scripture that Paul, the apostle, does not want us to be ignorant concerning the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul uses the word ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. Now, that word ignorant means not to know through a lack of information or intelligence, not known, not understood, unknown. So if you are ignorant on a subject, you have no knowledge, no understanding of that particular subject. If the Spirit of God, through Paul, said he did not want the church at Corinth during Jesus' time, to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. I certainly do not believe that he or God wants the church of today to be ignorant concerning spiritual gifts. Aren't we under a new covenant built on better promises? Yet, a gross ignorance, lack of information, or intelligence does exist concerning these gifts of the Holy Spirit. Even today, as much information as we have available to us, and we have it via computers, cell phones, or whatever the type of medium that you want to have, we have so much information, there should not be any way that we should be ignorant on this particular subject. Like I said, even today, as much information as we have available to us today, there are some places people know nothing at all about them, the spiritual gifts. Not even that such gifts exist. Now you're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to read our context scriptures for the subjects that we're teaching on, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So follow along as I read 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 14. And it says, Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You knew that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus a curse, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. It's given to each one for the profit of all, not the profit of an individual, but for the profit of all the body of Christ. Verse 8, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. Verse 10, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretations of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink unto one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. Amen. Now remember, this letter or this epistle was not written to an individual, but to the whole church. Paul is encouraging the whole church to covet or to desire these gifts. These gifts are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, please turn to the book of John, chapter 16. Again, that's John, chapter 16. And we're going to read verses 5 through 15. Again, that's John, chapter 16, beginning with verse number 5. And it says this, But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So we see here in verse number 7, he says, if I do not go away, the Helper. Now, that's another name or synonym for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our helper. Amen. Verse number 8. It says, and when he had gone, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they do not believe in him. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot hear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come. Now, here we go again. The Spirit of truth. That is another name for the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth, and he's also the helper. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Verse 14. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. And finally, verse 15. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I say that he will take of me of mine and declare it to you. So we see here that the Holy Spirit can be identified by two other names. One, the Spirit of truth, and then two, the helper. So the Holy Spirit is our helper, and he's also the Spirit of truth. Whatever he tells us, he's heard from the Father, and the Father can only speak truth. Amen. Now go to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts, chapter 1. And we're going to read verse number 8. And this is Jesus speaking also. He says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So we see here that the Holy Spirit is not only our helper and the Spirit of truth, but we're going to receive the authority of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, we found out that there are 9 manifestations of the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. And these 9 gifts are in 3 categories. Now, 3 of them say something, 3 of them do something, and 3 of them reveal something. The 3 that say something are the vocal gifts, and they are prophecy, divers kinds of tongues, and speaking in tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. Again, the 3 gifts that say something are known as the vocal gifts, and they are prophecy, the divers kinds of tongues, or speaking in tongues, and interpretation of tongues. The 3 that do something, or the power gifts, are the gifts of faith or special faith, the workings of miracles, and the gifts of healings. Again, the 3 that do something, or the 3 power gifts, are faith or special faith, the workings of miracles, and the gifts of healing. And finally, the 3 that reveal something are the gifts of revelation, or the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Again, the 3 spiritual gifts that are the gifts of the Holy Spirit that reveal something are the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. Those are the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit and what they do. Now, we have already discussed the first group of gifts, the ones that say something, the vocal gifts, which are prophecy, diverse kinds of tongues, and interpretations of tongues. We are now going to begin on the second group of gifts, the ones that do something, or the power gifts, which are the gift of faith or special faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healing. Now, please go to 2 Ephesians, or Ephesians chapter 2. And it says this, verse number 8. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God." So we have been saved by grace through faith. Amen. Our salvation rests on grace and comes to us through faith. Grace is God's job. Faith is our job. Salvation is also God's gift. God exercised his grace by sending his son to die for our sins. Our part is to rest on or believe what he did on our behalf. Faith involves the abandonment of any attempts by us to save ourselves by works. We cannot save ourselves by works. From God's perspective, we can never mix faith with works. They are mutually exclusive. We cannot justify ourselves. We just cannot do that. Faith, or biblical faith, is not the same as credulity. Gullibility, or a willingness to believe in anything. Credulity, it is to believe something without evidence. There are people today who believe in certain miracles simply because they wish they can be true. This is not biblical faith. Biblical faith rests on statements and promises by God and not on our feelings. Let me repeat that. Biblical faith rests on statements and promises by God and not on feelings. Faith in the Bible rests on knowing what God says. No one can become a believer without first knowing that they must rest on the death of Jesus Christ, his burial, and his resurrection to pay for our sins. Now, please go to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Romans, chapter 12. And we're going to read verse number 3. And it says, "For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one the or a measure of faith." So God has given to each one the measure of faith. And we all have been given the same amount of faith. No one has been given more faith than the other. Now, what you do with that portion is up to you. Amen. Now, Galatians chapter 5, please. Galatians chapter 5. And let's read verses 22 and 23. And it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law." Amen. And then finally, 1 Corinthians 12 and 9. And it says, "To another, faith by the same Spirit." Now, let me emphasize that the gift of faith, like all the other gifts of the Spirit, is supernatural. It is not natural. Let me repeat that. The gift of faith, like all the other gifts of the Spirit, is supernatural. It is not natural. I believe that every one of the gifts is a supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And the reason why I say these gifts are all supernatural because of what 1 Corinthians 14 verse 33 tells us. And it says, God is not the author of confusion or of disorder, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So I asked the question, because a lot of people think some of these gifts are natural, but they're not. Why would God send you to the store? Let's just for an example. Why would he send you to the store and tell you that he has 9 oranges for you to bring home to make orange juice? And when you get home and open the bag of fruit, you have 6 oranges and 3 bananas. That's disorder. And God does not operate in that manner. If one gift is supernatural, then all the gifts are supernatural of the Holy Spirit. God operates in divine order. He wouldn't tell you to go there and get oranges, and you're going to end up with bananas. He doesn't operate like that. Our God is a God of order. So if one gift is supernatural, all of them are going to be supernatural. Now, the gift of faith is the greatest of these 3 gifts that do something or of the power gifts. It is a gift of the Spirit to the believer that he or she, the believer, might receive miracles. The working of miracles is a gift of the Spirit given to the believer so that he or she might work miracles. Amen. One gift receives and the other gift does something. One gift is passive, it receives. The other gift is active, it works. Amen. And so the gift of faith is the passive, it receives. We receive our faith. And the other gift is active, it works. And that's the workings of miracles. Amen. I want you to notice in 1 Corinthians 12:10, the scripture says, to another, the workings of miracles. When you perform a miracle, that's work. You are working a miracle. But when you receive a miracle, you don't work at it. And that's the gift of faith in operation. Now, let me repeat that because this is very important. When you perform a miracle, that's work. You are working a miracle. But when you receive a miracle, you don't work. And that's the gift of faith in operation. Amen. Now, we often find that faith, like prayer, is often confused in some people's minds. Some of us have a tendency to put all kinds of faith in the same bag, mix them up, and pour them out all together, or mix them up and toss them like a salad. Well, there is a difference, and we need to differentiate between them. Now, there are 4 different kinds of faith. Number 1, there's saving faith. Again, saving faith, which leads one to salvation. That is saving faith. Number 2, we have general faith. Number 2, we have general faith. And that is which every believer has. When God says, I will give everyone the measure of faith, that is the general faith. And then the 3rd one is the fruit of faith or faithfulness. The fruit of faith or faithfulness. And that's the fruit of the recreated human spirit, which comes after salvation. And the 4th kind of faith is the gift of faith or special faith. And that's a supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit, which is imparted after the baptism of the Holy Spirit as the Spirit wills. Amen. So those are the 4 divisions of the 4 different kinds of faith. Now let's look at the 4 types of faith, beginning with saving faith. So please go to Ephesians chapter 2 again, and we're going to read verses 8 and 9. And it says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Verse 9, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Amen. So we see a saving faith. It says it is a gift of God. And we are saved, for by grace we have been saved through our faith. Amen. The next one would be, so general faith. General faith. But before we go to general faith, let me say one other thing about saving faith. The faith by which we are saved is a gift to God. It is imparted to us through the word. When we see Romans 10:17, it tells us, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we can say, so then faith, saving faith, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. However, the kind of faith which we will be discussing in this lesson, the gift of faith or special faith, is different from saving faith. Amen. Secondly, general faith. Now go to the book of Romans. Well, you know what, family? I'm just about out of time for today's broadcast, but please join us next week when we continue our teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Until then, please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. It simply says, for we walk by faith, not by sight.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.